I'll have conversations with people about doing that many push-ups, and they're like, well, how in the world can you do that? Doesn't, you know, it's not possible to do that. And I always say to somebody, it's like, well, if you've never ran, the thought of running a mile is a pretty far distance and maybe even overwhelming. Like, you can't even imagine running that mile. But for an ultra marathoner, that same distance is a pretty manageable distance. So with me, with the push-ups, I look at it, it's kind of like an ultra marathon. I mean, it's something that I've trained for, I prepared for, and the amount of push-ups is something that's possible.
You're listening to the Ultra Marathon Mindset Podcast, and this is Trail Talk, where we have casual conversations with all kinds of runners. I'm your host, Eric Dieter. I'm an ultra runner and a mindset coach. When trail runners get together to run a few miles, we never know where the conversation will go. So if you're ready, let's get started. Hey, welcome to another episode of the Ultra Marathon Mindset Trail Talk. Today, my guest is Nathan Carroll, and I apologize, I didn't ask the pronunciation of your name, but I'm hoping that I got that right.
You nailed it.
For most people, running a 50K, that sounds hard. Or if, in my case, 5,000 pushups sounds like that's rather hard. To combine them both is really, that would be really, really hard. So Nathan has done that. He ran the Glacial Trail 50K and did 5,000 pushups. And we'll get into that a little bit later. His goal is to do the most pushups in 365 days. He's up to 1 million so far as of this recording. His goal is 1,500,231. And that's an interesting number as well. So I'm sure we'll be talking about that. Nathan, welcome to the show. Or actually, I call you Nathan, but you go by Nate.
Nate. Yeah. Typically people call me Nate.
Nate. Okay. I'm sorry. I got your email had the name Nathan on it. So I apologize.
No worries.
Cause I have it written down both ways, but what got into the podcast now is your,
Well, if you start yelling at me, then you can call me Nathan.
Oh, that's yeah. How it goes. that's usually a mother's thing, you know, right? if you hear your full name, or if you hear like all, you know, your first, middle and last name from your mother, you know,
then you know you're in trouble.
Yeah. Yeah. So welcome. Nate, I always kind of talk about people, how you got started running. You've kind of taken it up to the next level. So tell a little bit about your history as a runner and what got you into doing this push-up challenge.
So I started running probably when I joined the Marine Corps after high school. I played sports in high school, but I didn't really run competitively or even recreationally. And I went into the Marine Corps after high school, and I started obviously running at that time. We had to do a 3 mile 5K basically for our physical fitness test. And so I just kind of dabbled in it for a few years. And that was in 1994. And in 2005, I ran my first marathon. So before that, I had ran a couple 5Ks, a couple 10Ks, but in 2005, I did the Green Bay Marathon, and that was my first distance or long distance run at that point. And since then, I've continued running, and I probably ran 15 or so marathons and probably 5 or 6 ultra marathons since then. And I just found running to be very relaxing, kind of cleanses the mind. I tend to do my best thinking when I'm out running. And it's just an activity that all you need is a pair of shoes and the appropriate gear for the weather, and out you go. So it's been a great activity for me and something that I thoroughly enjoy.
Well, that's cool. So you kind of continued it on even after you got out of the Marines, and so you didn't have like some of us like quit for a while and then got back into it. You just kind of kept on going.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that I was like competitive. I'm not a very fast runner, but it was just something that it kept me in shape. It kept me sharp mentally. And it was just something that I found that was relaxing to the mind and gave me some clarity. So it's something that I've continued, you know, for 20 some years now, whatever it's been.
Yeah. And there are a lot of runners who never compete. And in fact, I talked with a guy who's run for a long, long time, and he didn't start competing until he got to be around 55 or 60. So, there's a lot of people who just go out and run just to stay in shape. And there's a lot of reasons for that. So
absolutely. I always say I get my money's worth because I'm not very fast. So I'm out there a little longer than.
You said that twice. And I'm like, I'm a back of the pack runner. So
that's where I'm at too.
I know how that goes, but I like the ultra distances because for us who run at the back of the pack, you know, the longer you go, the more the miles wear down, you know, they wear down the field. And so you kind of, everyone has to go slow if you're going a longer distance.
Absolutely.
If I enter a 5K, I mean, I'm one of those that's really at the back, but well, that's great. So, so you run trails and road both?
I do both. Yeah. I prefer the trails, but it seems where I live in Wisconsin, it seems the road is a little more accessible to me, mm-hmm. but I do enjoy the trails quite a bit. I love being out in nature and just kind of being out in the mud and the elements. But I don't mind running the roads either.
Yeah. So what was it that led you to start doing pushups? I mean, were you doing pushups like along doing upper body workout and kind of, you know, staying in shape all the way around as you ran?
So I'm pretty minimal, I guess you would say. And so I've always preferred body weight exercises, and I've been doing pushups for probably 15 years. And when I started out kind of counting my pushups, I wanted to do 1 million in my lifetime. I thought that would be a pretty good goal. And so I did 100,000 one year, and, you know, I do 50,000 another year. It just kind of depend on kind of the, you know, what was going on in my life at the time. But then in 2018, I started thinking about like, well, why couldn't I do 1 million in a year? And so that kind of like started, you know, resonating in my mind. And so in 2019, I set out to do 1 million pushups in 1 year, which breaks down to 2,740 pushups a day. And so I accomplished that. And I kind of coupled that with my kids and I, our efforts to thank police officers across the country. Mm-hmm. So then as that kind of unfolded, I started thinking about the world record, which was basically 1.5 million. And so I kind of set my sights on that. And that's currently what I'm working on at this time.
Okay. So 1.5 million, how many does that translate to a day?
So to break the record, I got to average 4,111 pushups every day for 365 straight days.
Wow. Wow. That is a lot. It's interesting when you said something about the pushups. I have not done upper body work. I mean, and a lot of runners. I mean, I'm sure you probably know some runners who are that way too. Running is the thing that is fun, and we tend to slough off on keeping our upper bodies in shape.
And,
and cyclists are the same way. I mean, the cyclists have very, very thin upper body, and they don't really need it.
That's more weight you got to carry around with you. So runners typically don't like that. So.
Yeah. but I started understanding how much the upper body helps your running form this year. And so I have started a streak. I mean, I don't know that I'm going to get 1 million, but I've started doing, it's one of those things of, you know, just starting to do it every day. And that's, and for a lot of runners, that's where you start isn't an everyday thing. So you said you've been like 15 years. Has that been like, have you done it every day for 15 years? Is that kind of streak, or has it just been?
No, I wouldn't say it's every day. I mean, it is currently because I'm working on the record. So I mean, I have to devote quite a bit of time each day to getting my pushups accomplished. But prior to that, it was, I mean, I would say that I was pretty consistent, but I wouldn't say that I was necessarily every day. I mean, especially before 2018, I mean, if the weekend came around and I had something going on, I mean, I wasn't necessarily, you know, too, you know, concerned about knocking out a few sets every day. So, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So how long does it take you? I mean, you said 4,000 and change, how mm-hmm. long does it, how long do you have to devote to doing?
So I probably break it down in total time per day. It's probably about 2.5 to 3 hours of pushups, but that's spread out over 18 hours typically. So I get up about 3:30 and I'll stretch. And from there, I will, I'll do about 60 sets before work. And my sets are typically 30 to 35. And that usually gives me about 2,000 or 2,100. And from there, that's a good base, good foundation to start from for each day. And then based upon kind of what the day looks like, I'll weave in the next 3,000. So I work in a prison as a social worker. So I have some ability to I'm not, you know, on a line basically or in a factory working. So right. I have some flexibility with, you know, within my office, and my office mate tolerates me doing pushups all day. So, which is, which is very helpful.
That is good.
It is good. So, but yeah. And then I, you know, then I come home and I'll finish off the day, and I try to be in bed by 10. So it gives me about 5.5-6 hours of sleep. And, that seems to be working thus far, but like you said, you got to have a good routine. You got to be consistent. And, you know, it's something that I've worked on for quite a while to kind of build up to this point.
Yeah. So are you spending any time running, or is it, or this year kind of, devoted to just pushups?
So, yeah. So I've been, I mean, I did the Glacial Trail 50 in October. You know, I think it was okay. October 11th. And I did the 5,000 pushups then. And then I also, I mean, due to COVID, a lot of the races have been canceled. So there mm-hmm. hasn't been much race wise, but I have been running a few miles a couple of times a week. And I think back in September, I did a marathon too here in Wisconsin, the Jailbreak marathon. And I did 3,000 pushups during that race. So, mm-hmm. so I've kind of combined the two. I mean, it's just kind of, I love running. I love pushups. And I thought it would be neat to combine the two. So.
Yeah. And so you run a little bit and then stop and do a set of pushups and then run a little bit more and kind of.
Yeah. So it's, you know, when I first started running, I was kind of interested in ultra running, you know, I talked to some guys and, you know, they're like, well, you know, they would run 5 minutes and then they would walk five, or, you know, they do some kind of combination of run walk, and they, you know, so it got me kind of thinking like, well, how do I weave in pushups into my run? And so I've just kind of taken that and used that as kind of a hybrid for what I do. And so when I've ran, it would be basically, yeah, I'd run for 5 minutes, I'd knock out a couple sets, and then I'd walk for, you know, usually it'd take me 2 minutes, then I'd walk for three, and then I run for five. And so I would just continue that on until I finished.
That's cool. That's cool. And one of the things I forgot to mention in the introduction, and I can see it there behind you, and is that you're doing this to raise money for Tunnels, Tunnel to Towers Foundation.
That's correct. And,
so talk a little bit about what Tunnel to Towers is. I know a little bit about it. I mean, I see it on some of the news programs that are featured, some of the morning shows that I watch. So talk a little bit about that.
Absolutely. So, I mean, the whole reason I'm getting up at 3:30 every day and knocking out these pushups, it is to support this foundation. And so the Tunnel to Towers Foundation came around as a result of 9/11. Steve Siller was a New York City firefighter. The planes hit the towers. He rushed to the towers and attempted to save people and get people to safety, and ultimately was killed when the towers collapsed. So his brother, Frank, started the Tunnel to Towers Foundation, and their main mission is to support first responders, military, Gold Star families, and basically anybody who serves. So what they do is, in the program that I'm raising money for, is their Fallen First Responder Home program. So if a police officer, a firefighter, or EMT is killed in the line of duty, and they leave behind a family with young children, the foundation steps in, pays off that mortgage, and so that family doesn't have the financial burden now that their mom or dad has been killed, and that the kids can preserve that house and the memories that they had with mom and dad in that house. So they step in, pay off that mortgage, and provide just that financial support to that family that's left behind.
Wow. So for people who want to see this or hear this, want to donate, how would they go about supporting you in your pushups? And
Easiest way to support me is to go right to their foundation, the Tunnel to Towers, which is tunneltotowers.org. And you can see their Fallen First Responder Home program, their Gold Star Family program, which pays off the mortgages of servicemen and women who are killed in line of duty that also leave behind a family with young children. They build smart homes for our catastrophically injured veterans, and then our first responder home program. So if you want to learn about the foundation, I would just encourage people to go right to their website, and it lays out nicely all the things that they do, and it highlights all of the heroes that they've serviced throughout their 20 years now.
Mm-hmm. And the smart homes is that is very important. I mean, for there are a lot of soldiers, especially, who have come home and have been disabled. And
it gives me chills to think about it. That, I mean, I have just a little impact on helping some of these heroes, especially, like you said, the catastrophically injured veterans. It gives them some independence. It gives them the ability to live a life that maybe isn't as dependent upon, you know, their spouse or somebody else to cook them dinner or to get them out of the shower. The foundation comes in, remodels the house or builds them a new house, and they are equipped to live as independently as they can. So it's a wonderful foundation. Like I said, it gives me chills just talking about it and thinking about it and knowing that, you know, me getting up every day, doing a few pushups, hopefully is helping some of these heroes and the families of our fallen.
Okay. And so, but they don't, you don't have a site where they register under your name. You're looking to kind of get people on their own to look, just go to the, go and, so you're not keeping track of how much you're donating or anything.
So I am. So you can go right to their website. Yep. And you,
under your name.
I'm on their header. It says the push through campaign. And
the push through. Okay.
Yep, you go right there, and that will, you could link to that, and it goes right to their fundraising. Okay.
And I'll, and so you sent me the link, I think. So I will include it in the show, you know, the show notes.
That'd be great.
So that they will get that. But yeah, I wanted to make sure that it was, you can look up tunneltotowers.org for general information, but to donate, do the push through campaign. So.
Absolutely. Or donate directly to them. I mean, it doesn't have to be anything. I mean, if somebody learns about the foundation as a result of this conversation and they, you know, they are, you know, feel connected to the catastrophically injured or the Gold Star families. I mean, it's not about, this isn't anything to do with Nate. This is about them. So absolutely.
Yeah. There's plenty. I mean, you'd feel like you'd done your job if you just spread the word and somebody went and donated to, you know,
absolutely
to help out. But you're particularly focused on first responders. So,
yeah.
But they do more than that. So yeah, that's great. So you are, how many days into your challenge? You did 1,000,000 pushups so far.
Yep. So I think I passed 9 months. So I have about 83 days, I think 84 days left. This will conclude on June 13th. And I'm hopeful to hit the 1.5 either that day or a few days before that. So I feel good. I have a good routine going. And as long as I can stay healthy, I know that it's something that's within my grasp to accomplish.
So is 500,231. Where did the 231 come from?
The record was set back in 1989 by the guy named Paddy Doyle, who's from England, and he completed 1,235,235, I think it was, or 230. I always forget the change part of it, but that was the number he set. And so this record has stood for over 30 years. So I'm hopeful to cross it by at least one.
so you'll probably go, if possible, go more than that, but you have to do at least that many to pass the record.
That's the goal. Yeah. I mean, if I can do a few more, I'll add them on there. I mean, I keep all my pushups logged in my book. And so I'll go through and check to make sure my adding is correct, because sometimes we make a few errors. So I'm double checking my work as best I can.
Do you count as you go, or how do you keep track of those?
So I group three sets together. So I'll do like 35, 35, 35 typically. And so then in my book, I'll put 105. So that's how I'll group my pushups. So, I mean, that just seems to be the working thing for me, because I usually do groups of three. And so depending on it, so that's, and I log each one of them and through the date. And so hopefully, like I said, I got to make sure my math is accurate, so I don't get to the end of it and realize I got to do 5,000 more than I anticipated.
That would be kind of like making a wrong turn in an ultra marathon.
Oh, that would be. Exactly.
And running an extra 5 miles.
Yes.
Yeah, so you didn't have
to. You're tired enough at the end there. You don't need to add another 5 miles onto it.
Yeah. That is for trail runners. That's always, they call them bonus miles, because you get off course and you have to make that up, and you still have this, they don't give you any extra time on the cutoff if you make a wrong turn on the course.
Yeah. And I've done that too. So I know that feeling.
all of us have done that. Mm-hmm. I did that in a virtual race, and we ended up finishing ahead of some of the other people. And I said to somebody, I said, we missed a turn. They said, we should, at this point in the race, we should not be ahead of anyone.
That's crazy.
So yeah, it was a, but yeah, I understand how that would be. So, do you have anything? I mean, you're in the middle of this. Do you have any other plans for races coming up, or do you have any dream, any goal races that you would like to do? I mean, bucket list races.
Yeah. Bucket list races. So, I mean, right now, I mean, obviously with races kind of being, on hold or virtual, it's been challenging, but I would say I really like to do the New York City Marathon someday. I think that would be a neat one to run. And one day, my ultimate bucket list would be the Hard Rock 100 out in Colorado. Now, me living in Wisconsin, there's no such thing as mountains anywhere near me. So it would take a lot of work, but that's always been a race for whatever reason that's kind of, stuck with me. So I hope one day to devote enough time and preparation and training to qualify to run that race, and then hopefully, get the opportunity to it. So, but that would be probably my, my ultimate goal of running is to tackle the Hard Rock 100.
I've looked at those mountain races, the Hard Rock 100, and then there's the Leadville 100. Yeah. Both of those are pretty. They're very similar in terrain and elevation, and I kind of looked at that and went, oh man, it would be a challenge. It would be different. But you have hills in Wisconsin, don't you?
So we have like the Kettle Moraines, which is in the southern part of the state, from. I would say if anybody's familiar with Wisconsin, it's kind of near Fond du Lac, which is a little south of, about 40 minutes from where I'm at now. So there is hills. I mean, so the Kettle Moraine Forest is, kind of undulating, and but I wouldn't say there's any real big kind of mountain areas to run.
Right. And it's still not anything like the kind of atmosphere. Or the thin air when you get up above 8,000 feet that you'd face in the mountains.
Well, exactly. I mean, the kids and I went out to Pikes Peak this past summer for vacation, and I drove up Pikes Peak and I was tired. So I was thinking to myself, I can't imagine what it must be like running at that altitude. And again, obviously I need to get acclimatized to the environment, but I found it to be, kind of exhausting just driving up that thing. So I couldn't imagine running in those mountains. But again, it's something that I think that if I, had the time, I could prepare for to some extent. Mm-hmm.
But in Kettle Moraine, they have an ultra marathon. Is it 100 mile they run there?
They have 100, and I think a 50K, and I think like a 62, like a 100K mile race. They have a combination of distances, but they do have a 100 mile race there.
Some of the people here in Kansas City, I think have gone. I think they went. I can't remember if it was last year or the year before. I know some people who have run the Kettle Moraine.
It's beautiful.
It's beautiful. They said it's a tough. The hills will get you, especially at 100 miles. But,
and the trails are, very rocky and hard. So, the footing is not as solid as, you would hope. And there's always tripping because they're always sticking up. And so you just have to be very, very accurate with your foot placement and aware of it.
Yeah. Well, and the Rocky Mountains have those trails have a combination of dirt and rocks as well. I mean, there's a lot of trail running has you end up with a lot of some pretty technical trails if you've got any kind of hills at all.
Absolutely.
And each each area of the country has its own kind of rocks, but they're all you have to pay attention to.
So. Absolutely.
Well, that's cool. We're coming up kind of on the end of our time. Anything else you wanted to add about what you've got going on?
I hope that, you know, like I said, that this whole challenge can bring some attention to the foundation, you know, but also kind of for each and every one of us to kind of look at ourselves and see what is possible. And, you know, I'll have conversations with people about doing that many push-ups, and they're like, well, how in the world can you do that? It's not possible to do that. And I always say to somebody, it's like, well, if you've never ran, the thought of running a mile is a pretty far distance and maybe even overwhelming. Like, you can't even imagine running that mile. But for an ultra marathoner, that same distance is a pretty manageable distance. So with the push-ups, I look at it, it's kind of like an ultra marathon. I mean, it's something that I've trained for, I've prepared for, and the amount of push-ups is something that's possible. So I hope that whatever, you know, when somebody hears about this type of story, that they look and see, well, if they want to work towards their goals, that it is possible and nothing's out of reach if you're willing to work for it and commit to it.
Yeah. Yeah. And my view of running miles, I mean, it's like what kind of very much like you said, you know, I could run the miles, but push-ups is something that I'm just getting started on. And so I'm the kind of guy who's that at 1 mile point with my push-ups.
But it's so relative, but I just think it's a nice analogy. Cause I mean, it combines our running, my love for running and my love for push-ups, and it's all perspective. And if you're willing to, you know, kind of put in some work, you can become an ultra marathoner, or you can do, you know, a few extra push-ups. So whatever it
that's true. And each of us have, you know, each of us have our thing that you can be good at one thing and, you know, look at another thing and still not have the mindset of, well, I could do that. I mean, having that flexible mindset of let's take on a challenge. It's
absolutely,
and other people may have other, I mean, there's plenty of other things to do. There are people who do swimming challenges and paddle, you know, paddleboard challenges, and
it's all good stuff.
It's all good stuff. Well, and I talked to a guy here. He did the Pacific Coast Trail, and then he did a kayak down the entire length of the Mississippi River.
Wow.
You know, that those kinds of big adventures are out there. And so,
absolutely.
So yeah, that's I'll say to people, find your adventure, find what, lights your fire and go after
it. Go get it.
Go get it. So,
absolutely.
Well, Nate, I'm looking forward to keeping up with your push-up challenge, and I'll be cheering you on as I go. And,
absolutely.
Having just started my journey on push-ups, I'm like, yeah, that's cool. That's cool.
That is awesome.
I'm on my way. I can say that. So,
good for you. That's awesome.
Yeah. Hey, thanks again. I appreciate you being here as a guest. And, I've cut back on the, kind of my time I did have probably 6 or 7 weeks of backlog, but I stopped recording for a while so I could kind of catch up. So this should come out in a couple of weeks, and I'll let you know when it hits. So
thank you so much.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Nate.
All right. Nice meeting you.
Good to talk to you too. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey, thanks for listening to this episode of the Ultramarathon Mindset Trail Talk. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider giving us a 5-star rating and review, and don't forget to subscribe. That way you won't miss out on any new episodes. If you'd like to contact me, you can find me on Facebook as @UltramarathonMindset, or you can find me on the web at theultramarathonmindset.com. Remember, your mindset is the key to success in running and in life, and developing a strong mindset is a skill you can improve. Hey, thanks again for listening. I'll see you next time.